Well, what in the world am I possibly thinking? Difficult texts in scripture is one thing, but talking about women being quiet in church, well, that's just craziness, to be honest with you. As I worked on this sermon, I've had the nagging feeling that I should be dusting off my resume at the same time. I'm really not sure what I was thinking about scheduling this sermon. But let's go a step further. We might ask, what are we as a church? What have we as a church been thinking and doing? Every Sunday, we have women leading in worship. In the past and in the present, we have ordained women, and we have ordained women on our staff. We have elected and ordained women to serve as deacons for many years now. We have women serving in all kinds of capacities in the life of our church. But here in 1 Corinthians and in Timothy, Paul says women should not speak in church. They're to have no authority over a man. Women should be silent and submissive. So how do we resolve this conflict, this tension? Well, some have said, or some will say, well, maybe these words are just too controversial. We should just stay away from them. We can acknowledge that these teachings are in the Bible, but maybe we just don't need to talk about them. After all, the world is such a different place than it was when Paul was writing these words. So maybe it's best just to kind of leave these texts alone. Let them sit there in obscurity, but we just don't need to talk about them. We can just kind of go on with our lives and pretend like these words really aren't here. Well, we could do that, but they are here. And we do take the Bible seriously. These words are in our Bible, whether we like them or not. So maybe, yes, maybe, the best approach is to spend some time with them. Maybe it would be better for us to listen to these words, to study these passages, to hear God's intended message for us today. Yes, that seems to me to be a more faithful approach. Now, I recognize that within our church, we hold a variety of opinions and beliefs about these very teachings. And that's okay. We are Baptist at our best when we see things differently, but we still choose to worship and to serve God together. So my goal this morning is not to convince you of anything. I will share with you how I understand these verses and how I interpret these passages and beliefs. But as always, you are free under the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit to come to your own understandings. But let's start with what I think is very important and actually very obvious. Christians have for centuries debated this issue, the issue of the role of women in the church, and for centuries have come to a variety of different conclusions and resulting decisions about that. On the one side, we have a polarity with people on each side. On the one side, we have people who read these words literally and interpret them, insisting that only men should lead in public worship and teach Christian doctrine. These people would say women can teach children, they can teach other women, they can sing in the choir, they can play instruments, they can serve on committees, they can work in the nursery, they can work in the church kitchen. These things are okay. But they cannot lead or speak in worship. They cannot teach or preach if a man is present. That's what some would say. That's on the far side of this continuum or this spectrum. I read this week one person who would promote this particular standpoint or perspective. He wrote, "Really, these passages are so utterly plain that the explanations ought to be obvious to anyone who is able to read the English language. They mean," he writes, "that women are not allowed to speak in the sense of preach or teach in God's church. Any fair and honest treatment of the biblical material will yield no other conclusion," he writes. Well, a person who holds a very similar perspective compared the treatment of women in the United States with the treatment of women in Islamic cultures. This person writes that the Quran, Islam's sacred text, says some very similar things about the role of women in the life of the congregation and says that women not serving in leadership positions is pretty much similar in the Bible and the Quran. And generally speaking, Islam is stricter than most Christian churches. So this person says, quote, "What makes them, Islam, different from us? Why are most Islamic countries still treating women as second-class citizens instead of allowing them to serve in positions of leadership?" And he ends with this statement, "Maybe it's because they don't ignore their scriptures the way we ignore ours." Wow, those are strong words. But are they right? Our scriptures, both passages we read today, seem to state that women should be quiet in the church, that they should not be in positions of leadership. But here's the reality. Churches, Christian churches, all across our country today have women serving in every possible leadership position in the church, including preaching and leading in worship. So are we ignoring God's word, like this one person writes? Are we simply not paying attention to what the Bible says? Well, that's one perspective. There is another end of this continuum or this perspective that is very different. Folks on the far other end would say, well, you know what? We should really just ignore these passages. That's the opposite end of the spectrum from those who take these words literally. One commentator who is on this far side of the perspective says that Paul simply could not overcome his background or the culture from which he was a part. This person says these words are not from God. They are simply Paul affirming the dominant views of his culture. This person says, "It would certainly be very wrong to take these words of Paul out of context for which they were written and make them a universal rule for the church." Well, what is he saying? Basically, the idea is this from the other end of the spectrum. While these words are included in our Bible, these folks would say they really don't apply to us. These words were only for Paul's time and not ours. So today, we can just ignore these teachings. Well, who's right? These are opposite polar ends of this continuum. Some will say it's clear, literally, women cannot speak in God's house. Others say, we don't need to pay any attention to these words. We should simply ignore them. Who is right? Well, it probably won't surprise most of you that I do not subscribe to either end of these polarities. I find myself much more in the middle of the road, and while I'm comfortable in the middle of the road, I also realize that's the place you're often prone to be run over. But such as it is, I believe the middle of the road and the middle ground here has much to say to us today. I don't agree with those on this far end that take these words so literally that they say a woman cannot lead or teach in the church today. By the way, as a side note, many of the people who take these words as literally as we've just stated often seem to overlook Paul's words earlier, a few verses earlier, where Paul says women should not braid their hair, wear gold or pearls, or dress in expensive clothes. In other words, some people pick and choose what they take literally and what they don't. But on the other end of the spectrum, I'm also not comfortable with discounting this passage and simply saying it does not apply to our lives today. So what can we learn if we stand in the middle ground? Well, I would suggest let's start by putting these passages into context. First and foremost, it is very clear in both of these passages, in 1 Timothy and in 1 Corinthians, that Paul's overall message in both letters is to offer instruction to the church on proper decorum and behavior during services of worship. That's what Paul's writing about. In fact, the heading for this entire passage in my Bible in Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians is headed with these words, orderly worship. That's Paul's goal. That is his intention. Let's be clear. Paul is not talking about the intrinsic value of women. His purpose is not to focus on qualifications for leadership. He does that in other places. He is not here arguing about who should or should not be ordained. Paul's primary objective in both of these passages is to describe how we as Christians should behave and conduct ourselves during worship services. In the Corinthian passage, Paul has been discussing the gift of prophecy and tongues and how these gifts should be used in worship. In Timothy, Paul is writing about prayer and public worship. And it's clear in both passages of Scripture that the focus of these words is worship. So let's talk specifically about Corinth for a moment. This passage in 1 Corinthians deals with the general issue of when people are to speak in worship services and when they should defer to others and remain silent. The women Paul is writing about here were not standing up and speaking or addressing the entire gathered assembly. What Paul is talking about here is that during the services of worship, the specific women he is writing about here were either talking to each other or they were talking to their husbands. In other words, they were talking during the sermon. Horror of horrors, right? Now you know why I chose this passage to preach on. Paul is essentially saying, listen, when the preacher is preaching, that is not the time to be talking. That will preach. That's what Paul is trying to say. Now, I could spend a lot more time talking about this particular issue, but Paul is writing that some of the women in the church were using the worship service as a social hour. But it was beyond even that. More than just using it as a social hour, what was primarily happening was that these women were disrupting the worship service, according to Paul, by asking questions about what was being taught or preached. Now, asking questions is a very good thing. These women in the Corinthian church wanted to learn. They wanted to grow in their faith. And remember, we must not forget that one of the greatest differences between our time today and biblical times 2,000 years ago when Paul was writing these words is that the vast majority of women in Paul's day and age did not receive any kind of formal education. Boys were taught from an early age the Hebrew laws and traditions, but girls did not receive the same education. So naturally, when the women came and they listened to sermons that were talking about the law or expanding on Hebrew traditions, they didn't have the education and background to always understand what was being said. So they had questions, normal, natural, good questions. And some were bold enough to ask these questions while the sermon was being delivered. It was good. They needed to ask these questions because they had never been taught these things. But it's all a matter of timing. There's a proper time to ask questions. And Paul is simply saying here that worship is not the time to ask the questions. Later, at home, They can ask questions. They can ask their husbands, not because their husbands are inherently smarter at all, but because their husbands had been taught the law of Moses. The men should know the answers. The home was the proper place to ask the question. Now, I believe the same thing is happening in 1 Timothy when Paul writes about women not teaching men. In other words, women, according to Paul, should not be in a place of leadership at that time and in that place or teaching in the Christian church because, unfortunately, they had not been given the opportunity to learn or to be educated like the men had. It makes sense. Paul is saying that those who have studied, those who have learned, should be the teachers and the leaders for worship. Now, we might ask, was Paul a product of his culture? Yes, we all are. Did Paul think that women had a particular place that may have been different from the place of men? Yes, it's clear Paul did think that. But here, I think, is the primary issue of what Paul was trying to say. In biblical times, women had not received the education and the training. So Paul believed it was appropriate and right for those who had received the teaching and education and training to be the teachers and the leaders in the church. Now, that is not the case today. Women and men can receive equal education in our world. Girls and boys are both taught and trained in school and in church. Women receive advanced degrees in all subjects, including religious training and seminary. The culture has changed, and with that, the rules governing who can speak and teach should also change. Let me share my personal experience with you. When I was in seminary, I taught in many preaching classes and led a number of preaching labs where students would come and they would preach in front of their peers in order to receive feedback and to learn about the art of preaching. Most of the students in those days were men, but we also had a growing number of women who were coming and involved with the preaching classes. Well, after listening to students preach, it did not take long for me to realize why some of the men were against women preaching. The honest truth is that some of those women preachers were much more effective and much better preachers than some of the men. There was an intimidation factor, and these effective sermons from these women were not just because they were effective speakers. It was not just because they were good at rhetoric. No, it was obvious to all who listened that these women were gifted by God to preach. Now, why would God give these incredible gifts to these women and not want those gifts used for God's kingdom? There are so many arguments that could be pointed throughout history. It is true that a woman fell to temptation first. Genesis said that. But it is also true that a young woman named Mary not only gave birth to the Messiah, but was also given the primary responsibility of raising him, training him, loving him, and caring for the very Son of God. It is also true that Mary Magdalene was the very first person to see the resurrected Christ and was given the commission by Jesus himself to go and tell others. That's preaching, proclaiming the good news. Mary Magdalene, a woman, was the first person commissioned by Jesus to go and to proclaim the good news to others. It is also true that it was faithful women who, of all the followers of Jesus, stood at the cross as he breathed his last earthly breath. It is also true that Priscilla and her husband Aquila were both valued teachers in the early church because they both had received education. Philip the evangelist had four daughters, all of whom were prophetesses, according to Acts 21, verse 9. Today, I believe the guiding principle for who leads in worship, who teaches within the life of the church, and who leads congregations and groups of Christians, the guiding principle should be giftedness and calling, not gender. When God calls a person and gifts that person for ministry, he or she is capable and able to be an effective minister for Jesus Christ because of the calling and giftedness God has placed in that person's life. It is, as Scripture says to us, each one, male and female, should use whatever gifts he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And even as Paul himself would write later in another letter to the Christians in Galatia, he said, "In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor master. There is neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ Jesus." So, men and women of First Baptist Roswell, use your gifts. Girls and boys of this church, of the Christian community, use your gifts, for in Christ, we are all one, and God wants to hear all of our voices. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we recognize sometimes that there are tensions between how we understand your word and how we put it into place and into work in our lives individually and collectively as the church. Lord, we give you thanks not only for your word that leads and guides us, but also for the Holy Spirit who helps us to understand and interpret your word and how we should live out this word in our lives each day. Lord, we thank you today for the giftedness and the calling that you have placed in each one of our lives. It is our prayer, Lord, that you find us faithful and obedient, and that each one of us would use our voices so that we may serve you as you have called us. So, Lord, speak to me, speak to us, so that I and we may speak. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.